Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to deal with a subject this morning in Sunday school. We've been this entire year up to this point, we've been spending a great deal of time dealing with some of the issues that are in the culture that are affecting Christianity, that are affecting Christian ministries, Christian colleges and universities. And the subject today relates to the law of non-contradiction that we've spent a lot of time on during this month and in previous months. But the subject of equity and equality. How many of you have heard those words in the last week? Okay, equity and equality. However, I would imagine that your definition of those words are a lot different than the culture's definitions of those words. Christian, you've got to be on your toes all the time, all right? My great aunt, who lived next door to us, she was a very slow driver. And if you ever got behind her in Milton, there was no way you were going to get around her. She just took her time going down the street. But she said she had a philosophy of driving. She said she believed that everybody that was on the other side of the road coming at her was coming at her with a loaded double-barrel shotgun. So she was going to be just as careful as she could not to get them upset. So she would just drive really slow. And the other people on the other side, she expected them to stay on their side and drive slow. But she figured they had a double-barrel shotgun in there somewhere, so she wanted to be careful not to set them off. No road rage issues. And she understood road rage before road rage became a popular fad in our culture today. But, you know, you have got to be on your toes all the time. And you cannot accept the words that are used at their face value. For instance, when President Biden came in, immediately one of the first things they did was to pass the Equality Act in the House of Representatives. Now, that sounds really good, Equality Act, except it means no equality for Christians. The whole thing is geared to disrupt religion, to take religion down in the United States. Hasn't gone anywhere in the Senate, thankfully. But their word for equality is not the same word that we use. And we're going to talk about that today because as we've gone through this year, we were wanting to arm you as a Christian with understanding, so that you understand what you're facing, the words and what they mean in their mouths, so you're not confused and think they're meaning one thing and then start supporting them and then find out later that that's not what they meant at all. You've got to be on your toes, ready to go all the time. So we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 8, one of the Old Testament's most excellent, I think, example of the distinction between equity and equality that's given to us in the Word of God. Have you ever wondered why God gives us narrative history about certain individuals? Because God knows that in the future there's going to be something that comes up that this will provide a lesson in for God's people. And we need to know it. We need to be aware of it. Let's begin reading, please, at verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to read through the end of the chapter. As we deal with this subject, equity and equality, they are not the same. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in the one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it, or laid on top of the child. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is my son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. Now, can you imagine this whole scenario that's happening here? So Solomon says, All right, we're going to teach a lesson between equity and equality. All right, equity and equality. Now, you don't necessarily see those words here, but that's exactly what's about to happen here. They're going to learn a lesson. Equality would be, all right, we're going to give equal halves to both mother. That's equality. They both get the same. Equity would be what? The right mother bringing her child home. That would be equity. So let's look on here. Verse 25, And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Do you know that there were leftists and liberals in the time of Solomon? How many of you didn't know that? What is she saying here? Hey, go ahead and divide the child. Does that sound like a real mother to you? No, not at all. But she was on the side of equality. She said, go ahead, divide the child. Okay? That way we'll have equal. But the real mother spoke up and said, Don't slay the child. Let her go ahead and have the child. Now, you talk about a sacrificial desire for a mother to spare her child. But Solomon immediately says, verse 27, Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing upon His word. Father, we thank You for the truth that's found in this passage. And Lord, I pray that You'd awaken our hearts to understand and know that sometimes the definition of words are different in our culture from reality. And I pray that You'd help us as believers to be armed, to understand the difference between these two words, and to be able, Father, to understand where we're headed in this society, that we might stand with Thee, and that we might stand for true equity and true equality. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the end, King Solomon here judged very, very wisely. Very wisely. Because he believed that between these two women that there would be a real mother that would speak up and say, That's my child, but give it to them. Don't slay the child. Because that's a natural instinct within the mother. Both of them were prostitutes. We have to understand that. And they made a big deal about the fact that there were no other strangers in the house, just the two of them and their two babies. And they had given birth within a couple of days of each other. And, there was nobody else there. And so she stole my baby because she killed her other baby by sleeping on top of it. And so this is the whole story. Very wisely, King Solomon judged this situation. He said, let's pull out the sword and divide it between the two. Now, I don't know that Solomon would have gone through with that. I think he thought within his heart, the real mother's going to speak up and say, save the child. All right? But he brought a great and wonderful lesson between these two terms that we see twisted and redefined today. Equality and outcome. Now, what is equity? Equity is another name for truth. All right? That baby belonged to one of those two women as far as Solomon was concerned. Nobody else had come forward laying claim to the child. So he's got two mothers that are before him. both claiming to be the mother of this particular child. He doesn't know all the circumstances, but he knows enough that he's going to have to teach a very powerful lesson in order to get to what? Equity. Equity. Today, equity means almost nothing. And we're going to get into that. I'm going to give you some illustrations from our culture as we get into this. But equity is basically truth. What is the truth? If you go to a trial, the whole purpose of a trial is to try to get to the truth. Do they always do that? Not always, not in this sinful world. There's going to be mistakes. There are going to be people that go to jail that shouldn't go to jail. There are going to be people who are fined that shouldn't be fined. There are going to be people who are going to pay a terrible price within the justice system because we live with wicked hearts. But the desire should be to get to the truth so that there is equity. In this case, the real mother gets her child back. That's the truth. Look over to the other column. You've got equality. Now, what is equality in this situation? Equality is a word that simply means the outcome. The outcome being equal. Right? Nobody gets more than the other one gets. The outcome being equal. In this case, both mothers getting a portion of one baby equally divided. Now, we all look at that and say, that's not good. Two babies will now be dead. And what are these mothers going to do with a half of a baby? I mean, it's just grotesque, and it stirs all kinds of emotions in our hearts about a baby dying. But that's what equality would have meant. And that's exactly what one of the mothers wanted. Do you see the picture here? One mother wants equity in the sense that she wants the child to stay alive and not be harmed. She would like to be able to have her child back. She's before a king. She doesn't know how he's going to rule. All right? He pulls out a sword immediately. The Bible says that the description of her is she is just torn because she knows that's her baby and she doesn't want her baby to die. Over here, on the other side, is the mother. And notice what she says here in this passage of Scripture, verse 26. Latter part, well, I'll read the whole verse. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other one said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Now what you see in this phrase right here, folks, is exactly where we are in the United States of America today. We want equality, but it doesn't mean that the good is going to be the outcome. It means evil is going to be the outcome. The Equality Act that was passed in the House completely did away with the Freedom of Religion Act that was passed during the Clinton administration in 1993, which put assurances that the Constitution would be followed when it came to religion. That the government, the Constitution, would make no law against the freedom of religion, the practice of religion. No law to imperil it, to slow it down, to allow people to be able to worship according to conscience. They stripped that out of law with the Equality Act because it stood in their way of what? Their agenda. Their agenda. And this mother right here has the very same heart. Pictured here. Let it neither be thine nor mine. And that's where we are in the United States today. Do you understand that? Do you see that? And I'm gonna read some things to you that if you have hair, it'll make them curl. If you don't have hair, then you just miss out on that part. Okay? We got a group of the bald eagles in our church, and they're great, great men. We like to kid with them a little bit about that. But, you know, our justice system is being turned on in, and equity is being redefined. I want to get to this next page here. Is this thing flipping through properly? You know, the devil doesn't like HDMI or any kind of technology. We found that out over the years. Listen to this statement. In a crooked mind, even the right thing becomes what? Crooked. Boy, that's a truthful statement. In a crooked mind, even the right thing becomes crooked. The right thing in this situation would be that the mother who was lying would say, I'm lying. Take your child and go home. Wouldn't that have been the right outcome? But not in her crooked mind. In her crooked mind, the right thing was equality. Split the child in half. You take half, I take the other. Are you getting the picture here? This is the thinking that's going on in our society today. And as Christians, we've got to preach the Word of God and say, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not equity. That's nonsense. And get back to the truth. But you know what we've got going on now? We've got some Christian colleges in the United States right now that have jumped on the bandwagon of equality and equity. They're changing their handbooks. They're changing their philosophies because we have to adopt this. All this stuff, we got to adopt this so we can keep the government money coming in. Yeah. Isn't it interesting how Christian values quickly get tossed aside so we can keep the government money coming in? Sad, but it's happening because people don't know their Bibles. They really don't. They got Christian up on the sign, but they don't have Christian right here, and they don't have Christian from this book. The big difference between the two. Equity seeks first to discern what is absolutely or objectively true and subsequently to render a ruling or verdict solely on that basis. The Perry Mason rule. All right? Always had the bailiff come up there and said, all right, you say after me, repeat these words, please. That, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, I do. And then Perry Mason would show that they weren't telling the truth and would come out the victor every time with his faithful secretary right at his side, you know, reminding him of all the things that he needed to remember and stuff like that. But equity tries to find out what's objectively true. Now, this comes right out of a definition straight out of Webster's, and I'm going to get into the little more detail about the Webster's definitions here. But equality, on the other hand, in our current culture, prioritizes pursuing a desired or preferred outcome without regard to that which is objectively true. That's the new definition of equality. They take equity, truth, and they bend it all around, and they say, you know what, we're not really interested in that which is objectively true. We want subjectively true. Subjectively true means that I can take it and twist it into whatever, and it becomes my truth. How many of you have heard that expression recently? My truth, right? Have my truth, which is no truth at all. It's no truth at all because you've changed it from objective truth. And this is what Solomon's understanding was as he faced this case. To resolve this dispute that was before him, through a deliberate or premeditated bias toward equality rather than equity would have been to distort justice and a baby would die. You understand that? That's what was involved here. If he'd have gone the equality route, a baby would be dead and that would make two babies and one very broken-hearted mother because the other one didn't care. All right? So, let's move on to the word equity. This is from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. You have to go back that far to find the true definition of terms these days because they get changed so much. But it's a noun, comes from the Latin, and it means level. All right, how many of you own a level? It's in your toolkit at home. All right, I won't ask you whether you use it or not because if we walk into your house, we can tell real quick by the pictures on the wall whether you use a level or not. But we used to joke around a lot whenever Chris first came. We had a broken level that we had out there that we were using. And we were actually building the little shed out there between field 5 and 4 the first time I think I met Chris. He came up there and he chuckled at our broken level that we were using. All right. And we actually went out and bought one after that because we were so embarrassed because a carpenter came up and told us that we were using a broken level. But, you know, you learn real quick that you want to have a dependable level if you want something straight. If you want something straight. Equity simply means level. Truth. Justice. Right. Impartiality. In practice, equity is the impartial distribution of justice or the doing that to another which the laws of God and man and of reason give him a right to claim. It is the treating of a person according to justice and reason. Now, these are strong terms that are used here, and they've been thrown out by the culture. I don't like these terms. Psalm 98, verse 9 says, "The Lord shall judge the people with equity, impartiality." He's going to level the playing field. That's what he does. "With righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity," Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. And then look at the second definition there in Webster's 1828. Justice, impartiality, a just regard to right or claim, as we must in equity allow this claim. Now, a lot of people are making claims today, and not all of them are truthful. You understand that? And so a judge has to stand there and say, "No, wait a minute, this claim is not true because evidence was given to the contrary." So we, in order to rule, we have to rule with what we know to be true. But not anymore. A whole society now is moving away. Universities, colleges are redefining the terms. We've got graduates now of law school going out with these social justice orders. A lot of them. Not every law school, but there are many of them that are churning out graduates with different definitions of terms than what we know to be true. The major problem. Equality is the word that comes from the Latin as well. And it's an agreement of things in dimensions, quantity or quality, likeness. Key word here, similarity. Not equal, but similar. This is an important distinction in this word that Webster brings out. Similarity in regard to two things compared. We speak of the equality of two or more tracts of land. Are they exactly identical? No, they've got different trees and they've got different features and so forth. But they may be the same amount of acreage. So we say they are equal. But they're not really. They're similar. And this is what we need to understand. Because in the redefining of the term, they strip out the word similar. And you know what they replace it with? Same. Same. Not like. Not similar. But same. And that's a problem. Redefine the term. I won't take time to go through the rest of these things, but you know, evenness, plainness, uniformity, as in the equality of surface. You know, you can have a flat surface, but as I look at this surface, the designs on the flooring right here is different all the way across. Not identical, same, but it's uniform. They're all put together in pieces and so forth like that. All of the wood that was used here came from Hurricane Ivan, right? From felled oak trees. And the grain is not even, but they're perfectly matched together here, and there is symmetry, all right? And there is similarity in the grains, but they're not the same. So equality has to be understood in that regard. New definitions, new meanings of equity and equality. This comes from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. I downloaded this on April the 14th, 2021. They updated it for April the 1st, April Fool's Day. All right? But here are the terms as they define them. Equality involves trying to understand and give people what they need to enjoy full, healthy lives. That sound like anything close to what Webster said? Truth? No. That's what that, look across, equality. in contrast, aims to ensure that everyone gets the same things in order to enjoy full, healthy lives. This is nothing but Marxism. Nothing but Marxism. This is an organization that was founded to fund equity and equality issues in Atlanta, and it's spread all over the country now. All right? Let's go back over here to equity. It is helpful to think of equity as not simply a desired state of affairs or a lofty value. Rather, it's to achieve and sustain equity, it needs to be thought of as a structural and systemic concept. Redefined. Doesn't mean truth. Doesn't mean that we want to get to the bottom of something the best way we can and find out what the truth is. We listen to both sides and we come up with whose baby this really is. No. Equity has now moved to equality. And that's justice. That's social justice. Look across to equality. Equality aims to promote fairness and justice, but it can only work if everyone starts from the same what place and needs the same things. Nobody in this world starts from the same place. Nobody. But they say, oh, we've got to bring everybody to the same place so we all start on the starting line at the same place. That's just not possible. We have 7 billion people that live on this planet. 7 billion different starting places, and we're going to make it all equal. Has that worked in the Soviet Union? Has that worked in Cuba? I want to tell you something. I have no desire to go to Cuba. I don't want to ride in a 1950 taxi that's on its 18th or 20th motor, and the odometer quit working at 6 million miles. That's what socialism has given to that country. It's not a nice place to live. It's only lived and existed because other nations pumping money into their economy. That's how socialism works. Other people paying for it. Now, I want to show you how this is working in education very quickly. This week, California seeks to end advanced math courses in name of social justice. In the name of equity, all right, this is right off the press here. In the name of equity, California will discourage students who are gifted at math. Let me read to you this article. California Department of Education is working on a new framework for K-12 mathematics that discourages gifted students from enrolling in accelerated classes that study advanced concepts like calculus. The draft of the framework is hundreds of pages long. Who would have thought? That's what we do best. Crank out the pages. It covers a wide range of topics, but its overriding concern is inequity. The department is worried that too many students are sorted into different math tracks based on their natural abilities, which leads some to take calculus by their senior year of high school, while others don't make it past basic algebra. The department's solution is to prohibit any sorting of math in high school, keeping gifted students in the same classrooms as their less mathematically inclined peers until at least later in high school. The inequity of mathematics tracking in California can be undone through a coordinated approach in grades 6 through 12, reads a January 2021 draft of the framework. In summary, middle school students are best served in heterogeneous classes. All right? In other words, we keep everybody in one subject. Yes, you can do algebra with your eyes closed and without a calculator. But you cannot advance because you see, Todd over here is mathematically challenged. Mr. O'Pager, I don't know why. You taught me math, and you saw how terrible I was at that. And you hurt my feelings. You intolerant man. Yeah. In fact, the framework concludes that calculus is overvalued. What? As evidence for this claim, the framework cites the fact that many students who take calculus end up having to retake it in college anyway. Of course, deprioritizing instruction in high school calculus would not really solve this problem, would it? And in fact, would likely make it worse. But the department does not even seem to be worried about that. The framework's overriding perspective is that teaching the tough stuff is college's problem, not high school or elementary school. The K-12 system should concern itself with making every kid fall in love with math. How many of you fell in love with math when you were in school? Hey, I fell on my head in math. Let me read you the other article that's written here. The California Department of Education's 2021 Mathematics Framework seeks to end accelerated math opportunities for gifted students due to racial disparities in gifted math programs. In California, in 2004 through 2014, 32% of Asian American students were in gifted programs, compared with just 8% of white students, 4% of black students, and 3% of Latino students. Get that? 32% of the advanced math classes were what group? Now, I don't know about you, but I've always known that. Okay? They're just smarter than we are. I've known that for a long time. But, oh, this is horrible. No, isn't it interesting that they were going to make it a major thing within the Attorney General's office to combat Asian disparities? And here's California saying, we got a major disparity here. We got to take away these classes from these Asians. That's their solution. In response to these apparent inequalities, the framework recommends doing away with accelerated math track the state's middle school students can currently choose. Now we're not talking about high school. Now we're talking about what? Middle school. They're never happy with just one group. They got to go down south. They got to go down into the middle school now. We don't want to give them the ability to choose. Under the current system, gifted math students could take both Math 7 and Math 8 in 7th grade, allowing them to take Algebra 1 in 8th grade. That's what we do in our school. We've allowed that for as long as I've been involved with it. And if you have advanced students, let them go ahead and advance. All right? This track puts such students on a pathway to take calculus by 12th grade, setting the stage for them to take more advanced math courses in colleges. The framework argues California's public schools should do away with grouping students by ability. Instead, districts and schools must confront the structural inequities of tracking and ability grouping and to strengthen their efforts to support all students learning along a common pathway. You know what they're doing? They're destroying what's left of the educational system in America. There wasn't much left, but now they're going to just finish it off. All right? They're going to finish it off. And what are they going to substitute it with? Nothing. This is the point. They're not going to support it. All they're going to do is social justice stuff. Social justice stuff. That's what's going to be in there. And they'll have a group of people that can't do math. Group of people that are engineering schools are going to have to work extra hard to try to get them up to speed to be able to build bridges and high-rise buildings and roads and highways. They are wanting to strip any kind of true education. Math is basically the last line. They destroyed science years ago, right? They've been destroying history. They've been destroying grammar. And what was left? Well, they tried it with this Common Core garbage, you know, with all these little charts and stuff, and all you had to do was memorize simple facts. Oh, but memorization's bad. That's terrible. What they're doing is they want to be able to dumb down the whole society so they can change definitions of words any time they want. If you go up to the average person that has attended a public school, and I'm not mocking or making fun, but you ask them the definition of equity and they'll come up with the cultural definition, whatever it is currently, because that's what they were taught to do. Words change. Government can change meaning of words anytime they want to. And that's what they've done. So equity, which meant truth, really doesn't mean truth anymore. It means my truth. Subjective. And equality is not similar anymore. It's same. Has to be the same. So what are we doing? What's the whole point? What are we moving toward, folks, in this world? Who's going to be revealed as a great leader of the entire earth who will have wisdom to solve all of our financial, economic woes, and so forth like that? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. We can't have thinking people. You understand that? We can't have thinking people. We have to have people who don't think, who feel. And that's how they vote. You ask people why they vote for certain individuals, and sometimes it's because they're cute, and because they're tall. All right? Let me tell you something, folks. That's not thinking. That's anything but thinking. And that's what we're moving to. We're already there, sadly, where we don't think anymore. We feel and we're told how to think, which is non-thinking, when you're told how to think. So the last line is mathematics. It's hard to argue that 2 plus 2 is 5. But now they're saying, don't put an X, don't put an X. They got the 2 plus 2 part right. Wait a minute, that was part of the test. But they got that right. The answer, you know, that was really 4, but 5 shows an effort on their part. They were close. All right? Give them credit for being close. That's the grenade approach to education. We're close. All right? Try that on an airliner. We're close. We landed in the cornfield, but we're close to the airport over here. That's good enough, right? He tried. Good job, Mr. Pilot. We're all strewn all over the cornfield. The whole thing's on fire, but we're close. Let me tell you something, folks. You know, we laugh and have a little bit of fun, and we used to just say, that's just nonsense, and we moved on with life. We can't anymore. We can't just move on. We got to stand up and say, no, wait a minute. That's not education. That's uneducation. And when it comes to our Christian schools and colleges starting to adopt these things, it means that people are not thinking biblically. They're thinking culturally. And then they look at, well, there's money attached to this. And so we got to keep that money coming in. No, you do what's right and let God take care of that. We have got to get back to the Bible. I think that illustration that God gives us in 1 Kings chapter 3 was written for this time. Now, it's been written for all other generations, but it's written for this time because it makes a very important distinction about what equity is and what equality is. And I hope and pray that we've helped you this morning and armed you to be able to go out and say, you know what, I'm not just going to accept these definitions. I'm going to stick to what the Bible says and what the Webster's 1828 dictionary says, because he's the one that really codified the spelling of English words in the United States and England. He codified the spelling of the words that we use today. Brilliant man. Understood the etymology of words and their meanings and so forth and put it down. And what are we doing? We're erasing all that. Taking a big eraser. Erase that. No, we don't want that definition. We'll change it. All we have to do is change a few words in it. Instead of saying similar, we say what? Same. For equality. Okay, equity. We try. Not good enough. We've got to get back to the Bible. Amen? Back to the Bible. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together. We look forward to hearing Brother Ricky this morning. Preach your word to our hearts. We thank you for bringing he and Judy to us. Pray that you would bless their ministry as they continue to serve thee with Rock of Ages. And we pray your blessing upon the word as it was presented in Sunday school. Pray that it would help your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.